Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps I should explain, I've got this chair to lean on here because I have a slight mobility problem at the moment, so I don't really want to drop down while I'm talking to you. The Good Shepherd. It's a story that probably we are most familiar with in the whole of Scripture. And this is a story which many of us, in many ways, can relate to. But let us look at it with a little more purpose today. I wonder how many of you, when you perhaps earlier in your life was part of your working life, you worked in an environment which was full of competitiveness. I spent the last 30 years of my working life working in the Square Mile in the City of London. And if ever there was a destination where a cutthroat environment operated, it was in that Square Mile. Sometimes one had to be ultra competitive to win the day in your professions in which you are working, particularly in finance. And so sometimes your friends who knew you very well and knew that you could be relied upon in their view would get round sometimes and they'd say, "Ooh, you're a crook." And I used to say, "No, I'm not a crook, but I seek to reach my destination." In the early history of Israel, probably one of the most popular and vivid occupations was that of the shepherd. And even then, in those days, there were good shepherds and there were not so good shepherds. But like any profession, they are what you make it and what you put into it. In going back in generations, and I'm sure you have members of your family line who've experienced this, very often when you started your first job, many times, that's where you retired from. And in those days, most of the companies which people worked for were people who looked after their employees. And they used to show their appreciation to them throughout their working life and for the whole of time that they were in their company. Their employees were their value and they depended on them for their success. But nowadays, most of the people who share the power at the pinnacle of companies are there for the profit. And if the employees don't reach that profit, then their services are quickly dispensed with. In other words, they are the slaves to their company and not always appreciated as such. Where does that leave us in this quandary? We are called to be Christ's disciples in the world in which we live, and bring the good news of the gospel to those who have not heard it, or perhaps have heard it, but don't appreciate it. You will remember, like me, some years ago, there was a gentleman called Mr. Hawkins who became famous as one of the foremost atheists in our midst, and used to preach great sermons and lectures about Christianity, which he had no beef for. So you can imagine my surprise when I read in the Methodist Recorder this week that he now describes himself as a cultural Christian. Now, that was a new one on me. What is a cultural Christian? And so he explains it in a part way. To him, a cultural Christian is because, whilst he does not fully understand and appreciate and practice the true gospel of Christ Christian, what he does say is that it cannot be allowed to happen that our cathedrals and churches and chapels should disappear. They are part of our cultural heritage in this land, says he. And he is one of those who appreciates that culture and appreciates its presence in the world today. So when I read that, I had to read it four times to make sure I was reading it correctly. But I was. And to me, that was another little sign of hope in this world sometimes we describe as a world of darkness. And so, where do we fit in? Well, we are called to be Christ's disciples. I get quite angry sometimes when I'm buying my Christmas cards, because I'm sure you've experienced too that when you buy Christmas cards, you come across very few religious ones. And I have asked stall holders and shopkeepers many times, haven't you got any religious Christmas cards? Religious? Oh no, not at Christmas. We have them at Easter. To which I respond, well, if you don't have religion at Christmas, you can't have Easter. And then they look at me rather doubtfully. And so I give them a little sermon. And I try to lengthen out the sermon, because while I'm giving them a little sermon, it stops them selling a few more non-Christmas, religious Christmas cards, doesn't it? But one is so dependent upon the other. And in part of the readings of the scripture, in the usually the last lesson that is read at the carol service, mention is made about those of his own who received him not. Now, that leads us to ask the question, doesn't it? Are we knowledgeable and have truly received the Saviour of Jesus Christ at Christmas? Because only if we have truly received him into our hearts and minds at Christmas time can we fully appreciate the sacrifice he made for us at Passiontide and Easter time. Because Easter and the resurrection is when God, through Christ, makes all things new. But when he makes all things new, have we truly digested them? But it doesn't stop there, does it? Because in the first reading we had from the letter of John, it refers to the times when people give all sorts of false information about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, about religion in general, as in politics. But sometimes we don't know what they're really trying to say or what they really believe. Now, are we or can we be accused of being vague in our witness? Can we be accused of misleading people? I mentioned before a colleague I used to work with, who is one of my directors, who was planning the christening of his son. They had one son. And when they were making the arrangements, when they got it all planned, that was the reception planned, they then got round to going to the minister and the church to see if he was available to baptise him. It just so happened as well. So I said to him, well, why do you want him baptised? When did you last go to church? And the last time he went to church was on his wedding day. So why take your son to be baptised? Well, it's a dumb thing, isn't it? Our witness for the gospel of Christ is not the done thing. Our witness for Christ is to seek to broaden his kingdom and bring others into fellowship with him and one with another. And that's not because it's the done thing. It's because the place of Christ that we keep in our hearts and minds. So where do we go from here? Well, the next celebration in our Christian calendar is the Ascension of Christ, followed by Pentecost. And when Christ was on his earthly ministry and was letting his disciples know what was going to happen to him, he reminded them that when he had departed physically from him, from them, he would send them a comforter. And that comforter would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And people say, well, how do you know there's a Holy Spirit? You can't see it. And then I remind them that when they complain about the wind blowing, they can't see the wind. They don't know what wind looked like. They can only feel it. And the Holy Spirit is that power which Jesus leaves us when he leaves the earth. And when he leaves them, he gives them the gift of that Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is for all of us. And so, the Good Shepherd. Are we good shepherds? Are we fair to middling good shepherds? Or are we a bit on the fringe? The shepherd is prepared to give his life as a ransom for many. And that is why Christ is called, amongst other things, the Good Shepherd. And so I ask you on this day, think of the Good Shepherd. I'm always fascinated when I go on the train into Sussex, when I'm going to other churches, and see the sheep in the fields. But you don't often nowadays see a shepherd, do you? You see the sheep, but not the shepherd. But all of us are called upon to give our lives and our services and our purposes for the spreading of Christ's gospel. And that is why I trust that we're here today, to show the world what we're about, and that we're not doing things because they're done, and we're not doing things as a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength and a sign of hope. So if we're like Mr. Dawkins, and perhaps being a culture Christian, let us be a culture Christian plus. A cultural Christian who understands the love, care, and fortitude that Christ had, and that we can have the same from him. Amen.